Good morning and a good chodesh, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatzia daf Ayin Aleph. We left off on daf Ayin Amud Beis. We are at Esvei at the bottom of three lines from the bottom of the page on daf Ayin Amud Beis. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Leah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, and also by Hindi and Mendy Yudin, and Aaron and Shoshana Tversky, Lila Nishmas, Hindi and Aaron's father, Rav Shlomo Tversky, Rav Shlomo Shmuel ben Ha'admar, Harav Yaakov Yisrael, whose yard site is today, Neshama Shrav Naliyah. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do today is we're going to continue the discussion as to whether it's a good idea or a bet, whether it's mutter or aser, to lend money to a guy with ribbis. We had this at the end of yesterday's year, where the Gemara had suggested that you're not even allowed to lend money to a Nachri with Ribbis. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the order of priorities in lending money, who's better to lend money to, and who should get priority. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the evils of lending with Ribbis, how terrible it is to lend money with Ribbis. The Gemara is going to have a discussion as to why it is that when the Chumash talks about the idea of selling an Eved Ivri, it talks about a Ger Tzedek, a person selling himself to a Ger Tzedek, and when it talks about the lending money with Beribis, it talks about a Ger Toshev, so that each one is a bit of a Kasha. The Gemara is going to explain what the Kasha is and what the answer is. Then the Gemara is going to talk about when is it mutter to be an Arev on a Ribis deal. Normally the Isser of Ribis is not only on the Malve and the Love, but it's also on the Sofer and the Arev and the Eidim. So when is it mutar? Are there any exceptions to that rule? The Gemara is going to have a discussion of a Jew who serves as a middleman for a non-Jew to lend money to another Jew. So the Jewish money manager for the non-Jew's money, and part of what he does is he lends money Beribis to another Jew. So the Gemara is going to discuss the permissibility of that, and that's going to lead us into the topic of Shlichus for a Nachri in general. And then the Gemara on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to have five different interpretations of the case where the Jew actually can be a middleman. What exactly is that case? So let's begin. Esvei, three lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Ayin Amud Beis. So it says Gemara Esvei. The Rava challenges Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is the one who said at the end, Rav Huna is the one who said, but Rav Nachman quoted, Rav Huna is the one who said that there's an Isser for a Jew to lend money to a Nachri with Ribbis. What do you mean? How could you say that? Our Mishnah says, Lovin Mehen Umalvin Osam Beribbis. It said Beferish, that you could borrow from them and lend to them with Ribbis. V'chein Beger Toshav, and for a Ger Toshav as well. So it's Beferish that it's Mutter. So I'm Rav Chia Breid Rav Huna. Rav Chia Breid Rav Huna says, no, it's correct that which Rav Huna had said, that you're not allowed to lend to Nachri Beribbis, but that's only an Issa Midrabanan. When our Mishnah says that you're allowed to, that's Lo Nitzrucha Ela Bikadei Chayav. That's when they suspend the Issa Midrabanan, because a person needs it for his basic sustenance, for his basic livelihood. Rashi writes that, why would it be an Issa Midrabanan? So Rashi writes, Dilma Asila Misrach. So Rav Shif says that he means that maybe you'll come to lend even to Yisrael. That Asi the Misrach, if you get in the habit of lending money to a Nachri with Ribbis, you'll ultimately end up lending money to Yisrael with Ribbis. And that's what the Rivan writes in Maseches Makos on Dav Chavdal Ramral. At the end of Maseches Makos, instead of Rashi, is the Rivan. So the Rivan is on the side of the page in Maseches Makos, and that's what he says over there as well. However, we're about to see in the Gemara in just a few lines that according to Ravina, the reason is Shalom Yilmon Mimaisav, that we're afraid that if you lend money with Ribbis to a guy too much, you're going to have a lot to do with him, and then you're going to start learning about his other behaviors and his other activities, and that's the danger of lending money with Ribbis. So the Maram Shif wonders, where does Rashi know that according to Rabbi Chia, there's some other reason, right? The Gemara over here is quoting Amr Rabbi Chia, Breid Rav Huna, that Lo Nischa L'Gdei Chayev, but it doesn't say what the reason for the Yisid Rabbanan is. So Rashi surmises that the issur is you're going to come to lend money to a Jew with ribbis. Why not just choose what the Gemara says in a couple of lines? Is Ravina's reason that you're not allowed to do it? Is not that you're going to come to lend money to a Jew, but that you're going to connect to the non-Jew too much if you're spending so much time with him in business dealings. So the Marshal discusses this and discusses whether or not there's an afkamina between the two reasons, but it's at least somewhat curious. Tosfos and the Rashba quote in the name of Rashi that Bezman Azeh were knowing to be matir b'cholofen, because today we have so many masim va'ernonios, we have so many taxes and there's so many financial pressures, so we're matir even when it's not b'kdei chayev to lend money to a nachri with ribbis. And the Chidush Mamiyuchasim L'Ritva, he points out that even the pasuk that Rav Huna darshins that you know lend money to a nachri with ribbis is clearly only talking about Yoser Mikidei Chayev, because what does it say? Marbe Hono, right? That was the pasuk that he had quoted, that if you're Marbe Hono, if you start getting rich off of ribbis, so then it's going to be L'chorein Dalim Yikabtzenu. Then it's going to end up in the hands of non-Jewish kings who take away Jewish money in order to support non-Jewish people. But it's only Marbe Hono, a person getting rich. But if it's not a person getting rich, it's only Kidei Chayev, then that wasn't even included in the original pasuk that Rav Huna darshins to tell me not to lend money with ribbis. So this answer that the Gemara is giving, that it's mutter b'kidei chayev, is muchach in the original drasha itself. The Gemara says another possible answer, though. Ravina amar hacha b'tamidicham maskinan. When the Mishnah says that you're allowed to lend money to an achri with ribbis, it's talking about tamidichachamim. At that time, my gozer rabbanon, why is it that the rabbanon were gozer not to lend money with ribbis to an achri? Shema yilmon mimaisav. It's because you might come to learn from his behaviors. So that gzera only applies to amei aretz. But kevin the talmud chachamu lo yilmon mimaisav. But the talmud chacham we assume is not going to learn from the behaviors of the Nachri, because Talmud Chacham's Torah is going to protect him, and therefore he's going to be saved from learning from the terrible behaviors of the Nachri. The Maariv Shif points out that it's such an interesting reason that Shema Yilmol Mimaisav, that you might come to learn from the way that he behaves. Yeah, if I might come to learn from the way he behaves when I lend money to him with ribbis, why not just make an issur that I'm not allowed to do any business dealings with the Nachri? I'm not allowed to sell anything to him, buy anything from him, because Shema Yilmol Mimaisav, it's not really about the ribbis at all. It's complete. Meaning, according to the way Rashi said earlier that within the first Mahalich, that you'll come to lend money to a Jew with ribbis, it'll be intoxicating. It's easy money that I made. Look, I'm going to start lending money to a guy with ribbis. I'm going to see what a good business it is. So I'll start doing that with a Jew also. And I'll even convince myself I'm a Baal Chesed, because I'll charge a lesser interest rate maybe to the Jew, whatever it is. But when it comes to Shema Yilma Mimaisav, that Lechora is very difficult to understand, because that should apply equally to all business dealings. So the Maariv Shif says, yeah, it could apply equally to all business dealings, but when it comes, but the reason the Gemara does not think it applies equally to all business dealings is because any other type of deal, buying, selling, anything else, I could do that equally with a Jew. So I'm less likely to be lomate from the Nachri. But when it comes to ribbis, I know that I'm not allowed to do that with the Jew. So if I start making that my living, then I'm going to be locked into operating purely in the non-Jewish world, and therefore it's a greater risk of Yilmol Mimaisav. Tosus writes, for this very reason, that Bizman Azeh, where we're Shruyim Beino Umos, and it's not possible for us to engage in business outside of the non-Jewish world, there's no longer, we don't ask a ribbis any more than Masa Umatan. And that's why, I mean, what all the Rishonim work on is why it is that we're completely matir, lending money to a non-Jew with ribbis, Bizman Azeh, even though the Gemara made it sound like it's really aser on a drabbanan level. So that's what Tosus says. It's just there's no holding us back from doing business with Nachrim anymore, because that's the only way we're going to live. So since there's no holding us back from doing that, so there's no difference between lending with ribbis and any other business deal. The Ramban quotes a Machlokas Rishonim over here, whether these two answers are mutually exclusive, meaning are they two separate answers, or is one building on the other? Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by the Ramban that Ravina is just adding to that which Rabbi Chiya said. That according to Ravina, there's the only heter Talmud Chacham has is when it's also B'Kitei Chayev. That it needs to be B'Kitei Chayev Aleph, that's Rabbi Chiya's answer, and then Ravina adds another qualification, and also only if you're a Talmud Chacham, that you need both of those things. Whereas the Ramban himself says, no, these are two separate answers. Rabbi Chiya holds B'Kitei Chayev is mutter for anybody, even in Amma Aretz. And Ravina says the Talmud Chacham is mutter, even if it's Yoser Mikadei Chayev. Ika demasni la lahad Rav Huna aha d'tani Rav Yosef. However, others have Rav Huna's statement having nothing to do with lending money to Anachri Beribis. Rav Huna just said, "Oh, this is talking about Anachri." So the first version of Rav Huna was that he was talking about Ribis, and he was saying that that there's an Isser to lend money to Anachri with Ribis. But others have Rav Huna's comment on a totally different pasuk that has nothing to do with ribbis. The pasuk says, "Im kesef talve es ami es ha'ani imach." That there's a mitzvah to lend money to people who need a loan. That we often emphasize the mitzvah of tzedakah, which is a good thing to emphasize. But there's an entirely separate mitzvah in the Torah to lend money to people who can use a loan. That's what Rashi on Chumash writes. That even though the pasuk says "im kesef talve," "im" sounds like if you choose to, choose not. Not to, it's up to you, that it's not really a mitzvah, that normally the word im in the Torah is a rishos, but there are three places where the word im in the Torah introduces a tzivoy, introduces a mitzvah, and this is one of those three places. So there's absolutely a mitzvah in the Torah to lend money to people. So the Brisa darshins that when it says es ami, it's coming to tell me that ami v'nachri, if you have ami means a Jewish person that wants to borrow money from you, and also a Nachri wants to borrow money from you. So what's the order of precedence? Ami kodem. Then you got to lend money to the Jew before you lend money to the Nachri. And then it says es ha'ani. So we darshin ani va'ashir ani kodem. If a poor person and a wealthy person both want to borrow money, meaning a lot of times wealthy people borrow money for big things that they want to do, big investments and big opportunities. So a poor person and a wealthy person want to borrow money from you, so the ani comes and takes precedence. Aniyecha v'aniye ircha. If you have the option of lending money to your own family members or to other people in your city who are not family members, aniyecha kodmin. Then the aniyim in your own family come first. If the opportunity comes up to lend money to someone in your city or to a poor person in another city, people who are more local take precedence. You have very similar halachos when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, but these dinim of kedima apply to lending money with ribbis, to lending money as well. So Amar Mar, Ami v'nachri, Ami kodem. We just said that if you have the option to lend money to a Jew or to a non-Jew, so a Jew takes precedence. Pshita, of course a Jew takes precedence in lending money. All this has been on the chaver apply to a Jew and typically don't apply to a nachri. So Amrav Nachman, normally huna lo nitzrucha tafilu l'nachri brivis l'Yisrael b'chinam. No, the chiddush of this pasuk is that even if lending money to the nachri is a business opportunity, you're going to make money because you could charge ribis for a nachri, and if you were to take those same funds and lend them to Yisrael, you're not going to make any money off of that because it's going to be b'chinam, it's not going to be b'ribis. So still you should give preference to lending money to the Yisrael rather than the nachri. The Chavetz Chaim has chapters in Avos Chesed about this mitzvah of lending money to Jewish people, and Chavetz Chaim discusses over there that even though there is a preference to lend money to Yisrael without ribis over a nachri with ribis, but if your whole business is your whole parnasa is made by lending money to a nachri with ribis, so then you're allowed to do that, because this is talking about where it's like just some extra money you happen to have on the side. So what do you do with that money? It's better to lend the money to a Yisrael who needs that money. But if that's the whole way that you make a parnasa, so then you're allowed to use that money to lend to a nachri. So now the Gemara brings a brisa about how terrible it is to lend money with ribis. Tanya, Amar Rav Yosi Bore. By the way, in general, that not it's only by lending money. Whenever you have an opportunity to give business to a Yisrael or to a Nachri, there is a preference to give the business to a Yisrael. That's what the some of the Rabbanim were pointing out after after Pesach, that that there are people that are very makbid, that they not only will they not eat chametz shavar lav Pesach, because that's obviously an issur chametz shavar lav Pesach, is an issur midrabanan, but even if a Yisrael sold the chametz, I don't want to rely on his mechira, so I'm only going to shop by non-Jewish stores after Pesach, because I don't want to rely on the mechira. The chumra that a lot of the Ashkachas have, that you'll see baked after Pesach on the boxes. So that's for people who have such a chumrah. So if you want to buy from Yisrael, the Yisrael bakery will guarantee you this food was baked after Pesach. Rabelski Zichron Levracha did a little bit of investigation, and he said, yeah, a lot of those places that advertise baked after Pesach, a lot of them will, for the first week or two after Pesach, when people are thinking about it, they'll sell the stuff that they bake after Pesach. The other stuff that they sold has been in the freezer the whole time, and then 2 weeks after Pesach, that's when they'll sell that stuff, when no one's paying attention anymore, and no one cares anymore. So whether you need to be makbid about baked after Pesach, it's not really, but if you're going to go to a Nachri instead of going to Yisrael, so I think they quote from Ramesha that you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to be mefarnes the Yisrael. So instead of, for your chumrah of not wanting to rely on the mechira that the Israel did, that the local kosher supermarkets all sell their chametz with a valid mechira, but I don't want to rely on that mechira. So for that chumrah, you're going to violate a mitzvah d'oraisa to provide parnasa to a Jew. So much better to provide the parnasa to the Jew. But anyway, so the Gemara tells us, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Bo Rei Sam Yosei Nehem Shel Malvei Ribis. Look at the blindness of Malvei Beribis. Adam Kari Lechaveri Rasha. If someone calls you a Rasha, you're Il Malachai. You're so angry at him. You want to go after him. How could he call me such a name? The Haman, people who lend money with ribbis, Mevi and Adim, they bring Adim to witness this event. Velavlar and a sofer, Vekulmus udio, and they prepare all the things that are needed. Vekosvin, and they write a shtar to document what they're doing. Vekosvin, and they sign it, and it says Ploni zeh Kafar Belukei Yisrael. And pretty much that document says this guy is a Rasha. So they're bringing Adim to their rishos. They're announcing their rishos. They're documenting their rishos. If anyone chas v'shalom would say a word, you're a Rasha, I'd hate the guy forever. I would hold such a grudge. And here I am by letting money be ribis. I'm documenting my own rishos, because the Torah says via resa melokecha. So that's when Niri writes that someone's malva beribis and he's somich on the fact that it's never going to be known. He's kofar in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Because he doesn't realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in fact watching. If a person has money and he chooses to lend it for free without ribis, that someone who doesn't lend money with any interest, doesn't get involved in ribis at all, he's never going to falter. He's never gonna suffer. You see from there that the inverse is also true, that if a person is malvib ribis, then he's going to lose all of his nechasim. So frak the Gemara, wait, is that true that someone who doesn't lend money with ribis, he's not going to lose any of his nechasim? He's never going to become poor. And if you do lend money with ribis, you're going to become poor. See plenty of poor Jews who never touched ribbis, never did a thing with ribbis. So the Rishonim all struggle with the kasha. If you look at the pasuk mentions a lot of milos. It says someone who's halich tamim and poel tzedek and dover ames bulvavo lo ragal al lishono, and then it says oseila lo yimot liolam. Someone who does all of these things, including not lending money with ribbis and five other great mitzvos, so he's lo yimot liolam. So it could be that even though they didn't lend money to the ribbis, the fact that they're mismotetim is because one of the other aveiros said it says in the pasuk. Maybe he wasn't always dover amis bilvavo. Maybe it was one of the other things that he didn't do properly. So Tosus suggests that the kasha of the Gemara is that we see tzaddikim gemurim that are mismotetim, people who never do anything wrong, we see suffer. Alternatively, Tosus says that the Gemara's kasha is according to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva in Makos Tav Chavdalin, because he darshens the pasuk osa eile as osa achas me she'ele, that if you do any one of these things, lo yimot. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Anyone? What about someone who doesn't lend beribis? We see plenty of people that don't lend beribis, and still they suffer financially. So that's the how Tosfos deals with this kasha. So anyway, so the Amar Rav Elazar, the Gemara answers, Rav Elazar answers that there's a difference between the financial struggles of someone who lent money with ribis and the financial struggles of someone who never lent money with ribis. Halal mismotim v'olan. Someone who never lent money with ribis, yeah, he'll go through struggles, but he'll bounce back. Halal mismotim v'einon olan. But someone who lent money with ribis, he'll have his financial struggles and he'll never bounce back. The Gemara brings another pasuk that tells us that a tzaddik is not going to falter permanently, because the pasuk says that Habakkuk Hanavi had a tefila lama sabit bogdim tachrish kevala rasha tzaddik mimenu, that Habakkuk was lamenting in his tefila about the power that Rishayim seem to have over tzaddikim. So Amar Rav Huna, we could be medayik from lashon of the pasuk tzaddik mimenu baleya, but tzaddik gomer ain't a baleya, that the rasha will be able to swallow up someone who's more righteous than he, but he's not going to be able to swallow up someone who's a tzaddik gomer. If a person is a tzaddik gomer, he's not gonna suffer even financially on a permanent basis. Tanya Rebbe Omer Ger Tzaddik Gomer Lin Mechiv Regatosh Avar Lin Ribis Ein Yodem Mahu. He says, I don't know why it is that the Torah highlights a ger tzedek when it comes to selling an eved ivri, and a ger toshav when it comes to the issur of ribis. What's he talking about? So the Gemara elaborates. Ger tzedek amar lin mechira, when it comes to a ger tzedek that it talks about when it comes to mechira, he's referring to a tosefta that talks about the punishment one has for doing business with Shemitah produce. That one of the isurim of Shvius, he's not allowed to do masu matan with peros Shvius. So in the end, the pasuk tells us, the Chazal Darshan based on Pesukim, someone who does such business is going to need to sell all of his metaltalin, and then he's going to need to sell all of his karkaos, and if he still hasn't done tshuva, he's going to need to sell himself as an eved. That's how bad things are going to get. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, v'chiyamach achicha imach v'nim karlach, it says and it'll be sold to you v'lo lach elalger, and not only will he sell himself as an eved to you, but if he doesn't do tshuva, ultimately he's going to have to sell himself to a ger, shenemar, because the pasuk says after that leger, it says v'chisas gad ger v'sosho v'imach v'mach achichimo v'nimka leger, it says, so he's going to be sold to a ger tzedek v'lo leger tzedek, and not only to a ger tzedek, if he still doesn't do tshuva, leger toshav, he's going to be sold to a ger toshav who's not even Jewish, shenemar leger toshav, because the pasuk goes on to say v'nimka leger toshav. So nachri the ger toshav is a nachri who we discussed the other day, the machlokas, what exactly is mekabel upon himself, either shev mitzvos or just not to do avodah zara. And then it says mishpachas ger zeh nachri, that mishpachas ger is a nachri, that if he still doesn't do tshuva, forget about a ger toshav who at least was mekabel upon himself something, he's going to be sold to a nachri. Kshuomer ole eker, and then it says ole eker zeh nimkalavos chamatzma, if he still doesn't do tshuva, he's going to be sold to the avodah zara itself. So Amar Mar, we said in this price lo lecha ele leger, not only will he be sold to a Jew, he'll be sold to a ger, shenemar leger, because the pasuk says leger lemeimer the ger kani eved ivri. Wait, do you mean to tell me here's the kasha with that? Why? Meaning when Rebbe said I have trouble with why the Torah mentions a ger in the context of selling an eved ivri, here's the kasha. The kasha is, do you mean to tell me that a ger has the ability to be kona an eved ivri? Meaning that's what we're saying. The curse this guy is going to suffer is that he's going to end up being sold to a ger. Does a ger have the right to buy an eved ivri? Or a mini, I'll ask you a stira. Ein a ger nikne be eved ivri ve'ein isha v'ger kon an eved ivri. A ger cannot be acquired as an eved ivri, but neither can he buy an eved ivri. An isha also cannot buy an eved ivri. But the point is, how can part of the curse of dealing with of doing business with Shemitah produce be that you end up being sold to a ger? A ger can't buy you. So it says when we say ger lo nikna beved ivri, the reason is that a ger cannot be purchased himself as an eved ivri is because part of the deal with an eved ivri is v'shav el mishpachto bi'inan, that he has to be able to return to his family. V'haleka, and a ger doesn't have a family. So Minchas Chinuch points out sometimes he does, right? Maybe he has children, so he has a family. Yeah, but not always. And if those children never die, or you know, there's a native Yisrael will always have a family. There's no, because the Klal Yisrael never gets fully wiped out. So that's a haftach we have from Kodesh Baruch Hu. There will always be Jews. And as long as there's a Jew, there's some very, very distant family member. So a ger doesn't have always v'shavel mishpachto, and therefore he's excluded from the parsha of being an Eved Ivri. Ve'eini shav ger kon an Eved Ivri. How do I know that a ger is not allowed to buy, is not able to buy an Eved Ivri, and Isha is not able to buy an Eved Ivri? Isha lav arachara. For a woman, it's simply because it's not arachareth. It's not snios, because they'll come to violate the nisu yichud, because the Eved's going to be living with her, and she's, so that's not proper. Ger nami, and even a ger cannot be kon an Eved Ivri, because gemiri demakni kani, dlo makni lo kani, because we have a tradition, the Chamor Mekabel, the Lachem Moshe Misinai, that only someone who could be purchased as an Eved Ivri, so someone, only someone of such a status can buy an Eved Ivri. But someone who could not be, who could not have the potential to be purchased as an Eved Ivri, which we just discussed, that a ger cannot, can also not buy an Eved Ivri. So the Gemara tries to answer the Kasha now, right? Meaning we asked, why does the Torah say that if you do business with Shemitah produce, you can be sold to a ger? You can't be sold to a ger, you can't buy an Eved Ivri, says the Gemara. No, when we say that he can't buy an Eved Ivri, it means he cannot buy an Eved Ivri and then have the same ownership of that Eved Ivri that a regular Yisrael would, in that he could be Morish to his children, but he could be called an Eved Ivri and allow the din of a Nachri who buys an Eved Ivri, who's not able to be Morish that Eved to his children, Ditanya, because we have a Braisa that highlights this point, that Hanirtsa, an Eved Ivri who decided to stay with his master after 6 years by getting his ear pierced, and he sticks around until Yovel, Vanimkar the Nachri, and an Eved Ivri who's sold to a Nachri, Eino Ovid Lois HaBen V'Lois HaBas. He does not get passed on to the children. He does not work for the children. So whereas a Yisrael who buys an Eved Ivri can be Morish the rest of the years of service that he has in that Eved Ivri to his children, a Ger who buys an Eved Ivri cannot be Morish the rest of the years of the service that he has to his children. But he can still buy an Eved Ivri for himself. He can utilize the Eved Ivri for himself. So Amar Mar, we had said, Ve'ein Isha V'Ger Konan Eved Ivri, that an Isha and a Ger cannot be Konan Eved Ivri. So name it the Lok Rav Shimon Gamliel. Is that line in this Braisa against Rav Shimon Gamliel? D'tanya Isha Konan HaShvachos Ve'ein Konan HaAvadim, that an Isha could be Konan HaShvachos but not Avadim, which makes sense because the whole reason that an Isha cannot be Konan HaAvadim is because of the Tznius issue. So with Shvachos, you don't have the same concern. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Konan HaAvadim, that an Isha can even be Konan HaAvadim. So isn't that directly against what we just said? We said before that an Isha cannot be Konan HaAvadim. So I feel Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, it could be reconciled with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Lo kasha. Kan Be'Eved Ivri, kan Be'Eved Kanani. And the Braisa says a woman cannot be Konan Eved, that's from an Eved Ivri. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel says a woman can be Konan HaAvadim, that's an Eved Kanani. Why? Shouldn't we be concerned? Kal V'Chomer, right? An Eved Kanani is a parutz. So shouldn't we be concerned that if there's going to be non-sneous things that happen between this woman and her Eved Ivri, then for sure we should be concerned that things are going to happen between her and her Eved Kanani. So says Gemara, no, Eved Ivri Tzniyala, Eved Kanani Paritzla. Now it's Dafka, that Pritzus, that makes her not want to do anything with him, because if she were to misbehave with him, he's going to go around and brag about it, so everyone's going to find out about it, whereas the Eved Ivri is going to be embarrassed about it. Jews are embarrassed about their Averos, so if she misbehaves with him, then it will still be their little secret, no one's going to know about it, and therefore it's a higher risk of a lack of tznius. So that's why she can buy an Eved Kanani, just not an Eved Ivri. So says Mara Elahad Tani Rav Yosef, that which Rav Yosef says, Armalta Lotar Bikalba, that an Almana should not, who lives alone, should not raise a dog. And Rashi writes, because the concern is that maybe she'll commit bestiality. Tos says, Mehechi Tesi, that's quite an accusation, that we think that a Jewish woman is going to do such a thing. So Tosus writes, no, Lo Nechshetu Yisrael Al Kach. But you know what Yisrael are chashed on being choshed other people of doing such things. So it's not that we're actually concerned that she's going to do such a thing. We're concerned that other people are going to say she's doing such a thing, and therefore part of Yisim Nikim that she shouldn't have a dog when she lives alone. Tishri Barbe Rav Bush Pisa. and she should not host a yeshiva bacher in her house because she may be mezana with him. Bishlam barbe Rav Einstein, not host a yeshiva bacher tzniyala because she knows that he'll be very tzniyala about it, he'll be quiet about it, and therefore they have a relationship. She feels secure that it's never going to get out. Ela kalba, but a dog, given the masrichla mirtasa, shouldn't she be afraid that the dog is going to make it obvious that there's something weird going on between her and the dog? Because as soon as she starts this romantic relationship with the dog, he's going to be following her around wherever she goes, and everyone's going to say, "Why is that dog so connected?" So people are going to assume. So Amri, given the chishad yilei umtza masuch basra. No, you know what else will make a dog follow you forever? Give him a piece of meat; he'll do the same thing. So Amri inshi mishum umtza deshad yilehu demasuch. When people see the dog is very connected to her, they'll assume she's an old lady. She's feeding cats, you know, whatever she is. So why is her backyard full of cats? Because every day, that's how she entertains herself. She puts out a little milk for the cats. That's what everyone's going to assume. No one's going to assume she's doing something with these animals. Gertoshev ha'amrlin ribis ma'hi. What's the issue about Gertoshev that Rabbi asked about when it comes to ribis? Tichsiv, the pasuk says, v'chiyom ha'chichom mati yado imach, v'chzak tebo, ger v'toshev v'chay imach, al tikach me'ito, neshech v'sarbis v'yoresem el'kecha v'chay achicha imach. So it sounds from the pasuk that the issue of ribis that's mentioned in the second of those two psukim is going on achicha as well as the ger toshev that was mentioned in the previous pasuk. So apparently you're not allowed to lend money to a ger toshev with ribis. So with that we have a kasha ureminhi. Our Mishnah said not that way. It said love mehenu malvinos and ribis v'chein beger toshev. That just like you're allowed to lend money to a nachri beribis, you're allowed to lend money to a ger toshev beribis. Sounds like Gemara Amnachmanis miksev al tikach meitom meitoksev miYisrael. The second pasuk is not going back on the previous pasuk. We had one pasuk that spoke about ger toshev, then the next pasuk spoke about ribis, and the pasuk that spoke about ribis was very clear to speak in the singular that you're not allowed to do ribis me'ito from a Jew, but nothing to do with the ger toshev. It's mutter to lend money with ribis to a ger toshev. So now the Gemara brings a brisa as far as being a co-signer on ribis. Tan Rabban al tikach me'ito neshach v'tarbis. So we darshin aval atanasa lo arev. That you're only not allowed to take neshek v'tarbis from a lova, but you're allowed to be an arev on a chov that has ribis. So says Gemara, wait, arev leman. Who exactly are you being? Who's the malva here that you're being a co-signer on a ribis loan? Ilem arev liyisrael. If we're saying that you're co-signing a loan between two Jews that has ribis v'atana elu ovin belosa say, no, we have a mishnah that we're going to see on daf ayin hey that says you know who violates a losa say when there's a ribis deal between two Jews. Hamalva, the halova, ha'arev, va'edim. The arev is also a violation of a lo sase. So there's no way that we could be saying that you're allowed to be an arev on such a loan. Elo the nachri. No, it must be that it's a non-Jew that's lending money to the nachri, and you are asked to be the arev. That's what you're allowed to do. V'kivin to dina de nachri dazel basar arva. But wait a second. The din is in by the nachrim, by the secular courts. That the arev is the person that they go collecting from first. That when the malva wants to collect money from the lova, he doesn't go to the lova. He goes to the arev to collect money. So iu niu the kashak l'mir ribisa, and then the arev goes and gets repaid by the lova. So that's a real ribis problem. Meaning if Ruvain borrows money from Bob and I co-sign it, so when Bob needs to be paid back, I'm paying back the money. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to go to Reuven and I'm going to ask him for the money back. So it's going to turn out that I'm collecting all the ribis from my friend Reuven. So that's just terrible. That's ribis. That can't be that you're allowed to do that. So Rav Sheisha, Shekibu Lov Lov Medina Yisrael. Now the case must be that the Nachri accepted to follow Dine Yisrael, where by Dine Yisrael, you have to go to the Lova first to collect money. It's only if the Lova doesn't have, then you have recourse to go to the Arev. But really, you go to the Lova to collect your money. So this Nachri has accepted that condition. Well, he came above the Dine Yisrael. If he's following all the Dine Yisrael, Ribis Nami Lalishkal, then why is he collecting Ribis? There shouldn't be any Ribis. In Dine Yisrael, there's no Ribis. So Rav Sheisha, Shekibu Lov Lazu, Lov Kibu Lov Lazu. He's willing to, he has a limit, right? He's willing to accept Dine Yisrael as far as what the details of Arev are, but he's not willing to accept Dine Yisrael not to collect the Ribis. Mal Yisrael Ma'osav Shal Nachri Midas HaNachri. Then the Mishnah said, you can lend, a Jew can lend the money of a Nachri, Midas HaNachri, but not Midas HaYisrael. So Tanu Rabbanan, what's this all about? The Braisa elaborates. Mal Yisrael Ma'osav Shal Nachri, Midas HaNachri, Avalo Midas HaYisrael. Ketzad, what is this talking about? Yisrael Shalav Amos Min HaNachri Beribis. If Yisrael borrowed money from a Nachri with Ribis Ketzutza, that as long as the Lova has the money, he has to give X amount of dollars of Ribis, Ubikesh Lach Zirim Lo, and at a certain point, the Lova wants to just pay up his mortgage and he wants to buy it out so that he doesn't have any more Ribis payments coming to him. And before he returns the money, Mitzoh Yisrael Achiv Amalo, the Lova, the Jewish Lova, finds another Jew and he says, you know what? Don't return that money to the Nachri. Why, you borrowed a few $100,000 from the bank and you got a favorable interest rate? You know what interest rates are now? So don't return it to the Nachri. Let me take over your loan. Give me that money and I'll pay the Ribis. To namely, and I'll give you the Ribis money that you'll then pass on to the bank. You'll pass on to the Nachri. Oh, so you're not allowed to do that because it's still in the Rishus of the Lova, and therefore he's now lending that, it's Ki'ilu, he's lending that money to another Jew, and he's charging Ribis to that other Jew. But v'midu etz l'nachri, if the Lova says to the Nachri, look, I'm ready to pay you back, but if you want, I'll, instead of giving it back to you, I'll pass on your money to another Jew who's willing to have the same deal that you had with me, and he's willing to take over my mortgage, he's willing to take over my lease, he's willing to do that. So mutter, that you're allowed to do, as long as the Nachri is involved in the process, because then it's ki'ilu, the Nachri was makabel the money, and has now lent it out again with a new ribis deal. That first way of doing it, where one person is on the deal, and then another person says, I'll take over for it, is something that's very tricky. A lot of people mess this up. A lot of times, parents want to help out their kids with a mortgage from the bank. So the parents take out the loan, and the kids end up paying the ribis because the kids can't get a loan. So the parents will take out a loan, and then the kids. So that's very tricky. That not so possible that you're allowed to do that. That the parent is taking on himself the responsibility that he's borrowing the money, but then the kid is the one that's paying it back, and the bank doesn't know the kid. So it's really if the bank doesn't know the kid, then the parents are really lending money to the kid who's paying the ribis, and then he's just passing it on to the bank. But it's really a ribis problem. So v'chein nachri shalav amos miyisrael beribis. You have a similar situation where a nachri borrows money from a yisrael with ribis who bikesh lachzirim lo, and the nachri is ready to return it mitzoh yisrael acher, and he finds another yisrael v'amar lo, and he says to the nachri, don't return the money. T'neim li, give it to me. V'ani elecha k'derek shatamal lo muter, and I'll give it the way you would have given it. That's mutter, because since the money is in the reshus of the Nachri, who's the Love, so he's now the one that's being malve it to this Yisrael, and it's not the Yisrael. But v'amidu etzel Yisrael, but if they go back to the original malve, and the Nachri says to the malve, instead of me paying you back, I'll just pass it on to this Yisrael, and he says, great idea, usher, that's going to be usher. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam a Seifa, I understand very well in the Seifa that if the Nachri gives the money to the second Yisrael with the instruction of the first Yisrael to do that, so that's usher, because even though mitzad adin, a Nachri doesn't have any shlichus, but lechumra he's going to have shlichus. El reisha, the kiven dein shlichus Nachri, but in the case of the reisha, a Nachri doesn't have any shlichus. Iu need the kashakol mina ribisa, and therefore it should turn out that the first Yisrael is the one that's being malda lechavero and taking ribis from him. So why does the brisa allow it in the reisha if we can't view it as if the Nachri is a shliach? Meaning, even if you consult the Yisrael and the Yisrael says to the Nachri, even if you consult the Nachri rather, and the Nachri says that you can give it to the Yisrael friend, pass on the loan to your Yisrael friend, he can't be your, the Yisrael can't be the shliach of a Nachri. So Amar Avuna Bar Menoch, Mishmei D'Ravacha, Brei D'Ravika, Hach Meskinen, to go into Amarle, Hanich Mal Gabi Karka V'Yipater. So answer number one is, no, he didn't, the Nachri told the first Yisrael, put the money on the ground, and you're done with this chov. And he did, and then the second Yisrael took the money. He picked the money up off of the ground before all money was electronic, right? So he picked the money up off of the ground, and therefore he took the first love that didn't didn't do any Maisa Alva. Well, if they did that, then what's the Chiddush? Obviously, that's Mutter. Elam Rav Papa could go to Natal the Nasim Biyad. No, the case is the Nachri actually took the money back from the first Israel and then he gave it to the second Israel. And that's why there's no problem over here. So Vakati Malamemra, still really not a Chiddush that that's allowed to be done. The Nachri got paid back from the Israel. Now he has a new deal with this other Israel. So Mao Detema Nachri Gufei Kiyavad Adaita the Israel Kagamar Vyahiv Kamash Malan. I might have thought that the Nachri is only acting as a proxy of the Israel in that case. So Kamash Malan, that's okay. Ravashi Amar, another, you don't have to say that the Rashi is talking about that the Nachri was not of Nasim Biyad. It could be that the first Lova gave it to the second Lova. And still it's going to be Mutter, even though there's Ein Shlichus Nachri. Because Kiyamrin Ein Shlichus Nachri, Hani Mili Betruma. When we say Ein Shlichus Nachri, that's a din in Truma, that a Nachri cannot be a Shliach to be Mafresh Truma for you. Aval Bekola Torah Kula, but elsewhere in Torah, Yei Shlichus Nachri. A Nachri has the ability to be a Shliach. But that's not accepted. Because Maishna Truma Dela, why is it that a Nachri cannot be a Shliach when it comes to Truma? Because the Pasuk says, Atem, and Gam Atem. It says the word Gam Atem. So we darshin, Ma Atem B'nei Bris, just like B'nei Yisrael, who the Torah was given to, are B'nei Bris, Avshul Chacham Nami B'nei Bris. Whoever is going to be your Shliach, who we derive from the word Gam, also has to be B'nei Bris, but not a Nachri. So the same is true. Shlichus to Kol Torah Kulanami, Mitruma Gaminallah. We learn the very concept of Shlichus from Truma, so it's going to have the same rules everywhere. Elad Ravashi Barusahi. And that's why we don't appreciate the answer of Ravashi. So Ikda Amriyam Ravashi, another version of Ravashi is, Ki Amriyam Ein Shlichus Nachri, Hanimil Inu Lididon, Avalanan Liditu Avinalu Shliach. When we say Ein Shlichus Nachri, it means the Nachri cannot be our Shliach. But we could be the shliach of a Nachri, and that's why the case in the Braisa works out. Says Gemara, v'had Ravashi Barusihi. That's not correct. Maishna inu l'didan d'lo. Why is it that they can't be our shliach? T'chsiv atem, gam atem, l'rabu shluchachem, ma atem b'nei bris, av shluchachem b'nei bris, v'lanan l'didunami, ma atem b'nei bris, ka'amar, Yisrael also can't be a shliach for a Nachri, because the din of shlichus, it works in both directions, and it says atem, so it's got to be b'nei bris. Ella had Rav Ashi Barusihi. Therefore, we reject Rav Ashi. So, Bezashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Ravina's answer of how the ratio of the Brisa works out, considering that there's Ein Shlichus Lenachri. Have a good day, everyone.